this.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day on the program and a day that's going to be a little warmer. Day that's going to be, well, we're just about to the end of January here. We've only got a couple of days left in the month after it started off. Like I said yesterday, it started off, it seemed like it was fast. Then it got really slow. And now I was like, I can't believe today's the 29th. Today will be Mayor John Mitchell's State of the City address. And the plan is for us to carry that for you here on WBSM. We will have it. So the whole event kicks off at 11:30. There's a luncheon before the mayor speaks. So my guess is, you know, the lunch is going to be served at 12. So my guess is, seeing as it's going from until 1:30, I would guess like around 12:45, the mayor will probably start speaking, and we'll carry it live. I'll be on site there, along with my intern, Mac, and we'll coordinate with Barry to get it on the air for you. Now, how much of it Barry carries, I won't have any control over. But I believe I can record it at the same time. Yeah, so we'll put it up as a podcast as well. So we can talk about what you might expect in that situation. I'm also going to guess that means he's not joining Chris today, since the luncheon starts at the time he would be here with Chris. But of course, this is always a big deal every year. They host this now at New Bedford High School, hosted by the Chamber of Commerce. Over 500 business leaders, elected officials, stakeholders, and others attending. So this has become quite the spectacle. And Mayor Mitchell's pretty good with these about not going on unnecessarily. And I think you will hear a lot of discussion about the wind industry. And I'm interested in hearing what the mayor's take will be, considering the Trump administration's positions on that. So we will, we'll have that for you. And then, of course, you'll be able to read the entire speech after the fact. I'm sure Cable Access will have it on demand too, if you want to watch the video. I think they carry it live as well, so you can check it out. I think what they do is, I think they put it on their Facebook page, but don't quote me on that. And then we'll have an idea of what the mayor's plan is for 2025. Right now, I can tell you, all the media folks are just looking forward to the free lunch. I think it was last year where we said, they said that maybe the year before, they said that there wouldn't be a lunch for the media. There was a backlash to that. I think also, for the, you know, for the common person, the common voter, the common resident, for them, you know, they don't follow it as closely as all of us do here at WBSM. So this is important for them to hear. This is important for them to get a sense of what's going on, because they are not on a regular basis tuning in to Midweek with the Mayor. They're not listening to the conversations that we're having. They're not listening to the rhetoric. They're probably not keeping up with, you know, the reporting on WBSM.com or at NewBedfordLight.org or SouthCoastToday.com. So they might listen to this or give it a watch or peruse the speech, because they usually post the PDF online too. And they might say, oh, okay, well, I had no idea. So I know a lot of people look at this as a way for, and not just Mayor Mitchell, but any elected official who holds a state of the whatever address, to tout their accomplishments and to say their plans. And it's really, you know, they're speaking to the movers and shakers that are in the room. But I think this is more than that. This is like a check-in and a path forward with the constituency, with the residents of the city. And a chance to kind of outline it all in one shot. And in that regard, I've always found Mayor Mitchell's State of the City addresses to be, you know, it's always a mix of here's what we did, but also looking forward. But I don't find that it is too pie in the sky when it comes to some of those plans for the future. It's usually pretty pragmatic stuff. And he always works in a nugget here or there of something that we didn't know or that we weren't expecting, and gives you a little bit of buzz after the fact. So it should be an interesting speech. And then, of course, he'll be back with Chris next week and can get a little bit more in depth with it with you. But I would expect, you know, discussions about how the city plans to move forward with the offshore wind plans, if the Trump administration is pausing it. I think, you know, you'll get some discussion overall from Mayor Mitchell about how the city plans to go forward in the face of a new administration. I would not be expecting there to be a lot of criticism. You know, I don't think you're going to get headlines, sound bites from the mayor that'll lead the news stations this evening with, you know, mayor makes strong statement against Trump administration policies. I don't think you're going to get that, because a lot of the people that are in that room will have been Trump voters. There were a lot of Trump voters in the city of New Bedford, but also some of these people who are important stakeholders in the city were Trump voters. So I think you're going to hear not necessarily an acquiescence to those policies. You're not going to hear Mayor Mitchell say, well, you know, the president's against wind, so I guess we'll just pivot into something else. But we'll have a good idea of the strategy here in the face of that. And keep in mind, you know, the president reserves the right to change his mind. He might come back and say, okay, well, you know, we've reviewed this project and this seems to make sense. It doesn't have to necessarily be an outright no for any future wind projects. The other part of it is, I don't think that he's that informed on it. I get the feeling that he's just been against it from day one and hasn't bothered to dig in and learn about it. And that maybe as he has more information, his opinion evolves. We've seen him do 180s on things before. Also, it's entirely possible that he doesn't care to learn anymore. But for the next 1,452 days, he'll be the person that's setting that policy. So now it comes down to how the city can work around that. Also, I'm interested in hearing what some of the ideas, we'll call them, or some of what the I know it's soon. I know it's too soon. And it's probably not something that he's worked into the speech, because it's something that, the mayor's been working on for a couple of days at least. But what is the plan moving forward if this is a prolonged pause in some of the funding that is at? Because a lot of the funding that the city of New Bedford gets with its different nonprofits and organizations comes at the federal level. So how does Mayor Mitchell see this, pause affecting those? Because now, you know, there was some mixed messaging yesterday about what it was going to be. I think the White House tried to clarify things, but I don't know that that necessarily clarified things completely for people. And I read some analysis online last night that said, you know, the White House was kind of taken aback by the response that people had to this. That they thought this would be something that would be applauded, because they're looking at it as, and the president's looking at it as, a way to review and find out where there's overspending and unnecessary spending, and where they can make cutbacks that, you know, would put money back into the average citizen's pocket. That's what they're thinking. At least I'd like to think that's what they're thinking. But I don't understand how you can't do two things at once. That you can't continue to keep these programs going while also reviewing them. You certainly can. This is a stunt more than it is a policy. If the IRS comes in and audits you for your past tax payments or lack of payments, they don't tell you, oh, and you can stop paying taxes while we audit you. Like, you're not responsible for any taxes during the audit period. They don't tell you that, because they can do two things at once. They don't stop having your paychecks garnished, or your wages, you know, take the portion out for tax. They don't stop doing that because they're auditing you. And you can audit these programs and what's being spent while still approving loans, while still, you know, sending out Pell Grants, while still doing all of these other things that might be put on hold during this period, which nobody's really come out and said a definite time period, but I think it's, you know, reasonable to think it's not going to be totally quick. Can't imagine that the administration wants it to go on any longer than it has to for a majority of these programs, because they can't be against them all. But I've seen the number 90 days thrown around. But 90 days could be a big hit to a lot of these different groups and organizations that depend on this funding. So let's see, you know, where it shakes out, because it's already been put on pause by a judge. It's already being challenged by a number of states. But I'd be interested in hearing if Mayor Mitchell has any comments today. Regarding that. So we'll see. It might be... He might have a line or two, but it might be that he's been working on this speech before this information came out. And he might want to, you know, have more time to find out exactly what's going on, because a lot of people have no idea what's going on with it. Jeff in Fall River says, save the whales, no to wind power. Well, that's making the assumption that they're connected when there has not been any proof that they are. People just want to ignore the fact that there was more whale deaths before they started putting wind turbines in the ocean than there have been since, at least in terms of the humpback whale deaths that are being traced by IFAW and NOAA. So this is what they call a, I forget exactly the term, but it's a something mortality event. I'll have to look it up in the story that I wrote. I want to say unique mortality event or something like that, but it's something mortality event. And this has started, this has been going on since 2017. That they've seen this increased number of right whale deaths. And their data that they've collected says a lot of it has been ship strikes and nets that have caused this issue. Now, people who want to think that it's due to wind will say, well, that's because the work for laying the cables and for installing the windmills and installing the, you know, the basis for the turbines, all that. That's caused problems with the whales' internal sonar, and that's causing them to go into ships and causing them to go into nets. And NOAA is saying, we don't think that that's necessarily true yet. We haven't seen the proof that that's the case. So there's a big movement to jump on blaming wind for the whale deaths, but how do you explain the whale deaths that happened before there was any work being done on the wind? Because this is increased before that. And in fact, it's actually kind of slowed a little. Now, part of that could be because they've done a lot of work in the last couple of years in spreading the word to those who use the ocean about right whales. They've installed some of these zones where you have to slow down. They've tried to keep people out of the areas where they know where the whales are coming through. So I think that's helped mitigate some of it. Also, sadly, there's just less whales. You're going to have less right whale deaths happening when there's less right whales around to die. So that number will go down. But we had a story on it. You can read the details. You can read the NOAA report. You can read all the information, and maybe we'll have somebody from NOAA come on and talk about, you know, the depth of the study that they've done into it. But when Donald Trump said during his inauguration, you know, there's been, whatever he said, 49 whale deaths last year alone, it's not accurate. I also don't expect somebody to stand up there and quote exact numbers. But the numbers that he was saying and the sentiment behind it wasn't actually accurate. Not based on the data provided by NOAA. And I know what you'll say. Well, of course they're not going to give us the real data. So you're just going to trust the guy who doesn't study whales over the people that do. It's kind of like this thing with the drones. People are like, oh, well, you know, the Trump administration came out and said that there's nothing to it. So there was nothing to it. And the Biden administration could have told us that, but didn't. Well, how do you know the Trump administration is telling you the truth? If you thought that there was something nefarious that was being covered up 3 months ago, why wouldn't you think something nefarious is being covered up now? But it's also what I said before, too. It's just a bunch of regular drones in the sky that people are like, let's go fly our drones there now because everybody's talking about it. Anyway, I got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. 508-996-0500. And we're going to take more of your calls or start taking your calls coming up in a little bit. Also, app chat, open line voicemails available throughout the program. But right now, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
A federal judge blocks Trump's funding freeze. The doomsday clock moves closer to midnight. And the Louvre Museum set for a major renovation.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked President Trump's plan to freeze federal funding while his administration reviews progressive programs. The ruling came just minutes before the pause was set to take effect, preventing potential chaos for schools, states, and nonprofits relying on federal dollars. The White House has not commented, but Democrats call the move reckless and illegal, with 22 states filing lawsuits to stop it permanently. Trump officials say the freeze is necessary to align spending with his executive orders, but confusion over which programs are affected has sparked nationwide concern. Another court hearing is scheduled for Monday to determine the policy's fate. A year-long tuberculosis outbreak in the Kansas City area has alarmed health officials, with two deaths reported since January of last year. While the state initially claimed it was the largest U.S. outbreak, the CDC disputes this. TB spreads through the air and can cause symptoms like cough, fever, and weight loss. Treatment involves antibiotics, and as of January 24th, 67 people have active TB, while 79 have latent TB. Officials say the situation's improving, but TB remains a significant global health concern, with over 1.25 million deaths worldwide in the last few years. Target is scaling back its diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, prompting concerns about the company's philanthropic commitments to social justice causes. The decision, mirroring moves by other corporations, has led some nonprofits to reject Target's sponsorship, raising questions about the future of corporate philanthropy in an increasingly polarized environment. The Doomsday Clock, a symbolic measure of humanity's proximity to global catastrophe, has been moved closer to midnight than ever before. The Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists now places it at 89 seconds to midnight, citing escalating global threats. These include the climate crisis, the proliferation of nuclear weapons, the war in Ukraine, and the potential for AI-powered warfare. The group warns the world is dangerously close to a nuclear conflict, with increased cooperation between nuclear powers and alarming rhetoric from world leaders. And French President Macron announced a major renovation of the Louvre Museum, including a dedicated room for the Mona Lisa. The decade-long project will modernize the world's most visited museum, addressing overcrowding, outdated facilities, and safety concerns. A new entrance is planned, and ticket prices for non-EU visitors will increase. Renovation aims to enhance visitor experience and ensure the long-term preservation of the art collection.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins lost to the Buffalo Sabres 7-2. Next up, a home game with the Winnipeg Jets on Thursday. Celtics home at TD Garden tonight to play the Chicago Bulls at 7:30.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Light snow ending early, becoming mild. Squalls possible in the evening, a high of 43. Partly cloudy and breezy on Thursday with a high of 30. And on Friday, cloudy with rain showers developing in the afternoon, a high of 40. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Yo, Mona Lisa, could I get a date on Friday? And if you're busy, I wouldn't mind taking Saturday. Round up the Posse Fuji coming around the way. Yeah, your nappy head.
Oh, shut.
What you got there?
I got some of that lyrical Chiba Chiba.
A Chiba Chiba, y'all. Well, I'm a Libra, y'all. A Chiba Chiba, y'all. Well, I'm a Libra, y'all. You want a battle?
And, you know, I've never seen the Mona Lisa in person. I've never been to France. I've never been to Europe at all. But I would think that if I went to the Louvre and if I went to France, I'd want to see it in person. But I don't know that I'd want to pay separately to see it. That'd be like, I don't know. Like going to Disney World and it's, you know, you pay whatever you pay to get in, but if you want to ride Space Mountain, it's this much more. I guess that works in some formats, but I don't know that it works at an art museum. And what happens if... I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. I was going to say, what happens if people don't want to pay the extra and they don't see the Mona Lisa? I guess it won't matter. It's not like it's going to devalue the Mona Lisa or make it any less the most famous painting in the world. But I don't know. It's kind of like if you know, like one of the things I've heard about the Lizzie Borden House tours is you pay whatever it is to take the tour. And then at the end of the tour, they say, now, if you want to see the basement, it's another $5 or whatever it is. Like, why not just include it in the tour and just change the price $5? Why not just include the Mona Lisa in the ticket and just up the ticket price? Is anybody going into the Louvre and saying, I don't want to see the Mona Lisa while I'm here? Like, do they walk by and like shield their eyes and say, I don't want to look at it? Well, still, if I went, I would probably pay the extra because I'd want to see it. But then also, I guess the question comes to, I've seen it enough in my life. Will seeing the original really make that much of a difference? My thought process has always been, no matter what it is, pictures and videos don't do whatever it is justice. The one thing I will hold to a different standard are fireworks. If I've seen a picture of fireworks, if I've seen a video of fireworks, that's no different than when I go out and I see fireworks in person. I don't see a difference between it. But anything else that I've experienced in person has always been better than... And I've gotten a new understanding and a new perspective. I'll use the Lizzie Borden House as an example. You know, I'd seen so many photos of that house over the years, so many videos, but when I got there and experienced it for myself for the first time, it was different than I expected. The layout was different than I expected. The way that they would have seen the attackers was different. You know, I had a different understanding. And I think the same happens, you know, with a good piece of art. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good.
Feeling
I'm
better?
Feeling middling. Nope, still the same. Not worse, not better, so that's good.
Yeah, I guess it's good to not get deeper into an illness, so.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't even know if it's an illness. I don't know. But that's in the there right now. I just want to get back to the wheels for a minute. First of all, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm glad you're doing at least the same.
Yeah, I am. So I just wanted to talk about the whales for a minute. I promised Brian I wanted to talk to him about a really big story, and I wanted to do it, but it was before Thanksgiving, and my friend said, don't do that. It's very sad and depressing. And then, of course, I've been babysitting, and then, of course, I'm not now with this, and the mother's back, so she's, you know, taking over for now, and honestly, I don't even know where they are right now. I haven't heard from them in 3 days. Like, they totally disappeared. It's just so weird. But so now I'm going to talk about it. But I don't want to get into it too deep with you. I don't want to depress everybody. But Saturday, I'll go into it a little more if Brian wants to talk about it. So Japan has been killing whales for the longest. It's so horrific, and there's pictures of it. And I saw this before Thanksgiving. And they're killing the blue whales, the right whales. They're killing the fin whales. And it's also Iceland. Norway was doing it, but I think Norway's kind of backed off. But Iceland and Japan are all on it. There's is just so sad to see the pictures of these whales being slaughtered. And they had an agreement and they broke it. But what they've done now is they're saying, or they were saying a year ago, oh, it's for research to see if how much the plastic chemicals are in them, how much, you know, this and that, and how much plastic, like physical, real plastic is in them, and all this bull crap. And boy, I almost said the other word. Thank God I said the crap word. So it's really sad, and I can't believe this. And they even have vending machines. Well, I guess where they dry the meat out, and they put them in vending machines.
Yeah, it's a pretty popular food source in these other countries.
Well, they're not supposed to be doing it. Like I said, they were saying it was for research, but now they're straight out saying this past year, I mean, before the beginning of this year, that they're doing this because they can. The fin is very well stocked now. Now, the fin whale is the second largest whale that's ever lived on this earth, second largest animal. In the waters anyways. And they even got bigger boats now that can just like grab them. Like, it's just horrific. And they're killing them. And I just can't believe it. Now, here's the thing. Now, Japan, with Fukushima, when that nuclear power plant went crazy, and just like people don't even, some people have actually moved back there and living there. And I think that's the very meek people. And but Japan doesn't want, China doesn't even want Japan's scallops because they don't trust anything that comes out of the waters. So Japan's been sending them to us for the last 4 to 5 years, and nobody even realizes it. And I think they just started catching on to this about in the last 2 years. And if nobody has, check the back of your bag. And you can go right into your, see, I won't say which store. I'm sure it's all three supermarkets. Well, definitely two. You just go in and then you ask them, where are the scallops from? And then first ask them, are they bay scallops? Have they been infused with water to make them look bigger? And ask where they came from. And they have to tell you. And you'll get the answer, Japan. So we're getting Fukushima scallops that China doesn't even want to touch. So now Japan is like retaliating because China was a big market for them. They never even had to, you know, bring their scallops to us, to China and the surrounding. But anyway, so there you go. In a nutshell, like, wow. So now they're killing the whales, and it's just sad. And so here we are, New Bedford, known for being the whaling city, from being, you know, historically praise for what they did back in those days, but then to become such a doom and gloom because you're killing whales. And here we are being known once again for killing whales because of the sonar, that the noise in there, it just throws them off.
Well, I mean, there's no proof that that's what's causing this.
No, well, there's a lot of entanglements. A lot so far have been proven to be entanglements. But the last two, they did not talk about. So maybe they're not done doing, you know, the autopsies on them.
Yeah, it takes usually. So we reach out to IFAW when there's a whale death that's reported. And, you know, usually it takes a couple of weeks before we hear back anything. I mean, the fact that we haven't heard back from the one from the beginning of the month, you know, that's pretty typical. It usually takes a little while to get those results from them.
Well, the one before that, I'm surprised we haven't heard anything back yet, but. Who's to say right now? Because
well, that's the one that I mean.
Say.
The one from the beginning of the month. The one from, what was it, January 1st or New Year's Eve? They found
no
it?
Before that. There was one before that in Westport. The last one in Westport, and then this one, not the last one. There was one, the one before the last one. Both of the two whales in Westport. Put it that way.
I think we might have heard back about the one that happened before.
I don't think we did. I don't know.
No, I said we. Just because you didn't hear it didn't mean that they didn't say something about it.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, smarty pants, I was just going to say, well, you can find out because you would probably be able to figure that out.
Yeah, the one from October, they I remember them saying that was a ship strike. The one on Elephant Rock Beach.
Was that the ship strike? I thought the ship strike was over...
Noah told us that the whales have shown pre-mortem vessel strike.
And that was in the one in October in Westport?
Yeah, that's what I was just reading in that story.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
It does take them a while to come out with it.
But I do know the scallopers that I've talked to say that their sonar, when these wind things are on, their sonar can't even pick up where the scallops are because it's just interfering with their sonar. It interferes with a lot of sonar equipment. So, and the noise, I guess, apparently is making oysters just, you know, get away. But honestly, with our waters right now in New Bedford, why would you even want anything right up, you know, with the plant waste?
No.
You're not even supposed to within what? It's just so many, what, 700 miles or what is it? 70 miles or something?
We'll hear today in the mayor's State of the City address, you know, what he thinks the future of that industry is. So I'm sure that'll be a major topic of his speech today.
Yeah.
All right. I got to hold you there.
Good. Nothing good. Tell me something good before you hang up. Let's leave on a happy note.
I had a really nice old fashioned last night from my Rack House Club bag at Stevie's from this month.
Oh, so that was the special? What was the big special thing?
So every month, because I'm part of the Rack House Club, every month you get a bag with something in it. So this month it was Sagamore rye, which even though it's called Sagamore and people think it's local, it actually comes from Maryland. But it's fantastic rye. But they gave us that, and they gave us the bitters and the simple syrup and the cherries to be able to make an old fashioned. And I've been meaning to do it since I got the bag a couple of weeks ago. But last night was the night I was like, you know what? I've got a little bit of time. I'm going to make one and sit and enjoy it. And, you know, just made a little small one, but it was really good.
That is so awesome. Do you know that was my mother's favorite drink?
And it's surprisingly simple to make. You know, they seem more complicated than they really are.
Oh, I was lucky. She gave me a couple of sips. I was like, please. I was like 13 or 14. I'm like, I just want to, because the cherry intrigued me. So she let me taste it. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, if you're not a whiskey drinker, you can just get a jar of cherries. It's easier that way.
Yeah, she gave me a Shirley Temple. But yeah, that was my mom, old fashioned. Now I like them. I just can't have Jameson whiskey. I don't know what.
Well, I made it with the Sagamore, and it was really, really good. But I'm going to try doing it with some. My problem was I didn't have a cocktail shaker. So yesterday I went out and got one of those. And so now I might try it with some of the other stuff I get around.
Good for you. All right. Well, that's a good, happy topic to end on.
There you go. All right. You have a great day.
You too, kiddo.
Take it easy. All right, caller, hang on. I will get to you in a moment. Let me just take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And let's go back to the phones. Oh, hold on. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi. Good morning.
How you doing?
How you doing? Oh, pretty good. I was listening, and I heard you mention that you've never seen the real Mona Lisa.
No.
Well, some years ago, my wife and I, we went to Europe, and we went to France. And we were with some friends, and we spent time touring around Paris. And we went to the Louvre Museum. And it was pretty interesting, all the artifacts that were there and the different artwork, art pieces and all that. We went upstairs into a room, and there was a guard with a machine gun on one side, a guard with another machine gun, and a rope between the people observing and this wonderful painting by Da Vinci. It was pretty interesting. But the thing that caught my attention was I was expecting a large painting, and it's not a large painting. The real Mona Lisa is just an average, like, frame, painted, beautiful, but it's not a large, large piece of artwork.
Did you feel like you could see it well enough from where you were?
Oh, yeah. You could go right up to the rope as long as you didn't touch the rope or try to get over the rope.
And so, but you felt like you had a different experience seeing it in person than you would have if you saw, you know, a print of it somewhere.
Oh, yeah. What it is, when you see a print of it, yeah, they make it a little somewhat larger, but it's not a very large painting. It isn't, by no means. That's the thing that I was kind of disappointed in, but just to see it was amazing, that this painting was a piece of work that's treasured by the whole world.
Well, if I do get to see it in person, I'll probably use that line from the movie Annie, although they probably hear it all the time, you know. There's something about her smile. Hang her in my bathroom.
Oh, geez.
But
yeah.
I think they probably hear that enough.
I'm pretty sure.
All right. Well, thank you for the...
Actually, if you ever do get a chance, do go to Paris, France, and visit France.
I definitely want to. I want to get into the Paris catacombs for sure.
Oh, yeah. There is I remember we were walking around looking at all the different sites, the Eiffel Tower, and we were told that there's a wonderful tourist vision. You open a door and you walk into a tunnel, and there's all bones on the sides.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we were told that this was used by the French resistance to travel and get from place to place so that the Nazis wouldn't capture them.
And that's where I'm going to go when I go there. That's just one of the many things that I want to see. I mean, I definitely want to get over there someday and really have some time to explore, too.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things. The Champs-Élysées with all the restaurants. There's also, let's see, the Eiffel Tower I mentioned. We were going to go up to the top in the Eiffel Tower, but there were so many people waiting in line. And you get to the first level. The second level is way up. The Seine River, which is famous, one of the famous waterways in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to go swimming in it. It looks like the Acushnet River before Klingning.
Well, I got to hold you there because I got to take a break, but thank you for sharing.
Okay, have a good day.
You as well.
Hope you get to go someday.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
And, I took French in high school, and, you know, you study not just the language, but you study the culture as well. And I always said that's a place that's on my list of places to visit. You know, and I used to have an exchange student in my class from Grenoble, France, which is the small town of, it's a village, but it's where Andre the Giant was from. That's what I knew about Grenoble. But he was telling me, you know, all about this stuff. And I said, well, now I want to go there when I go. And he says, well, of course, you have to go. And I just think it'd be funny if, you know, 30 years later, if I just showed up and asked him if he remembers me. We didn't get along toward the end. We got into a fight over a girl. But 30 years, we could bury the hatchet. Plus, I won. I ended up marrying her, then divorced. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right. We are going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we'll take more of your calls. 508-996-0500. Don't forget, too, we are still collecting your votes at WBSM.com and on the app for the pet owner and pet that look the most alike. We're getting lots of votes over there. But we've had one person stay on top for quite a while. The winner gets a $250 gift card. And voting will go through this weekend, and then we'll announce the winner on Monday. It's all brought to you by our friends at Wareham Animal Hospital.